As Connie said in her last talk, this chapter, final chapter in the book Love and Law, is comprised of some random questions and answers. So I picked out a couple themes to address today. By no means have I covered everything, and there's a lot of really, really good information in that chapter. The first one, of course, was healing, because that's a major interest of mine. And I got some new insights from reading this chapter. So, as we know, in back of every manifestation, there's some kind of thought or feeling. And not all of these are deliberate. So, some thoughts create illness. For example, if a man has a fever, do you think he sat down ahead of time and mapped it all out and said, I'm going to feel like total toast tomorrow? He probably didn't do that. He may have been experiencing some kind of transition in his life, or some fear, or perhaps a heartbreak. Holmes says that behind any kind of health problem, there's a certain complex or mental knot, which perhaps 9 times out of 10, like all our emotions, is centered on our affection, our loves, which naturally creates the strongest mental vibration. 3 of the strongest things or emotions are love, hate, and passion. And so I found it really interesting when he was talking about, from a practitioner standpoint, and we're all practitioners, we don't look at the illness. We look at what thought may have been in back of it, and you go back and you try to erase that. So he said, we never treat disease, and it's better to figure out what thought or feeling needs to be erased that caused it, as opposed to dwelling on the illness. And so, thinking about it, if I'm coughing up a lung, and does that mean that I'm not sick or I don't have a fever? So I started thinking about this because I have been coughing a lot in the past couple months. And I normally attribute it to allergies. And it was so bad at night it was keeping me up and I'd be coughing away. So I thought about this chapter and I thought, well, what does this have to do with my life right now? So then I realized that my dad and I were sitting for days at a time and watching the impeachment hearings. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of feelings as I listened to those. And I decided that perhaps the strong negative feelings that these hearings were building up in me may have been behind the severity of my cough. So I decided to cut back on watching the hearings, and my cough has been receding. Wow. What a coincidence. So if you're willing to work on yourself and look at what thoughts or feelings may be behind something that you're going through, you may be able to make rapid changes in your life. As I've been, I'm coughing still a little bit, but it's nothing like it was. So that's on working on yourself, but when I work on others, if I sit back and remember that there's a universal mind and I'm part of it, I remember that it acts upon my thoughts or words. I can do my treatment and I can let it go. And as I learned in one of my early religious science classes, if you plant a seed, a bunch of seeds in the ground, you don't want to be going in every day and digging them up to see if they're starting to sprout. You don't want to do that. So you do your treatment work, and then you let it go. And to do a treatment, again, you just don't obsess over whether or not it's working. Because if you do that, you're at the level of, it may not be working. Maybe I don't believe this. And so I have found that letting it go and get it out of your consciousness is the best thing for allowing you to work with another person. And I don't ever need anybody to tell me I'm a gifted healer because I'm using the word in a deliberate way and it always works. So he gave this one example that I found pretty humorous. Not if I was in this situation, but a mother who wants her alcoholic son healed and he's refusing to be healed. So in this case, Holmes said, the mother needs the treatment, not the son. And it's best if the healer never sees the son or even thinks about him. So he treats for her to be patient and that her son receive her desire for his wellness. So, in other words, the less you think about a specific illness or condition, the more effective your treatment will be. Okay, so that's a couple of nuggets on the subject of healing. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about was this qu the question, will you explain how love and hate are the same? Yes. So if you think of love, I think of love like a thermometer, with more love being over 100 degrees,
Oh, wow.
and less love, and less love, and less love down to zero. You don't have hate when there's, you're at zero. What you have is a lack of love. And they're two different things. Hate is a stronger emotion. Lack of love is different. So, to take it a step further, let's pretend I really hate myself, to the point where it's making me uncomfortable to be around other people because, God forbid, they have to be around me and I'm such a deplorable person. So my love thermometer is probably at or near zero. And if I wake up some morning feeling totally refreshed and eager to start my day, glory be, I may start appreciating myself a little more. And then gradually the thermometer goes up. And the more I appreciate myself, the more my internal love thermometer goes up. So in the end, I really wasn't hating myself. I was just, my love thermometer was down at about 0 degrees. So to add to this a bit, I wanted to throw in a quote by Joseph Murphy, who is a great early religious science thinker. If you imagine, for example, that another person is mean, dishonest, and jealous, notice the emotion you evoke within yourself. Now reverse the situation. Begin to imagine the person as honest, sincere, loving, and kind. And notice the reaction it calls forth within you. Are you not then the master of your attitudes? So I thought about that a lot. And when I'd asked John for the musician of the day that I was to talk about, Nero came up, who was a Roman emperor. He was born on December 15th, nearly 2,000 years ago,
Wow.
in the year 37 in the year of our Lord. He was adopted by his great uncle Claudius. You ever heard of Claudius? He's one bad dude. So he and his mother, Nero and his mother, were notorious for their debauchery and their cruelty. And he only reigned for 14 years. He came into power when he was either 16 or 17. Again, when you're looking at history of that period, it's not so concrete. You don't have the New York Times reports or anything like that. So Nero was said to have killed his own mother and his stepbrother. Yes. He eventually had his first wife put to death, and then he married four more times.
Whoa.
He was bad dude. Or that's the way you could look at it, and you could start building up all these negative thoughts about Nero. So the great fire of Rome was supposedly caused by him, although there's no basis for this rumors. It may or may not have been. They say, he wanted a better villa, so he burned the city down. I don't know. And they, there's a saying that while Rome burned, Nero fiddled. Yeah, well, that's not true because they didn't have fiddles back then. There were no bowed strings. If he played anything, it would have been the lyre, which is a plucked string instrument. So after reigning for 13 years, 13 and 14 years, the Roman Senate declared him a public enemy and he fled and committed suicide. Now, why am I talking about this now? Well, I know, it's kind of negative, isn't it? Here I've been calling him a bad dude and that sort of thing, and but I remembered the Joseph Murphy quote. And if I'm thinking about him in a negative way, what does it do to me? So what? What is? Oh, okay.
You posed the question and she's asking you to answer it.
Well, I didn't want to hear about him. So what I did was, I decided to binge watch a show on that was on PBS a while ago on the life of Nero. And it was really interesting because I could see a lot to like about him. Or as Abraham would call it, I could develop a book of positive aspects. He was totally unsuited for that, the job that he had. He was forced into being the Roman emperor, and the times were kind of bloodthirsty. You know, people were kind of, his own father was murdered, and he watched it when he was a small child. So, and he wanted to be a poet, he wanted to do chariot races, and he was a musician. So he really loved the arts. So that's who he was. He wanted to live in Greece with his beloved. And it was such a beautiful, parts of that story were so beautiful, it made me really appreciate Nero. And I didn't feel so bad afterwards, because I got to always think, what is this doing to me? Mm-hmm. So, in terms of my feelings about Nero, I was probably pretty close to zero when I first started reading about him. Mm-hmm. You know, my thermometer was way down. But after watching that show on PBS, I could start seeing that he was actually a very different person. And given different times and situations, he may have been a great musician or mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. So I learned a lot just by looking at the life of Nero himself. So I'm going to close with a little quote from Holmes. "Subtle essence of spirit within me, flowing through me. Elixir of life in my veins, purify me with thy marvelous life. I let thy spirit cleanse me from all false thought and idea. I let thy life flow through me a complete and perfect whole. I feel the presence of spirit within me." And so it is.
And so it is.
So it is.
Awesome.
So this, you know, looking up, John gave me the name of Nero to start meditating on, to see how I could fit it in, because it is his birthday today, I thought, this is like the perfect, perfect situation. And I'm so grateful, because I got to see, and in terms of that question of love and lack of love, I could see that changing in myself.
Awesome.
So, yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, John.